I have a topic today which I call sequence because it is my observation that God sets things in order. Everything just follows in His divine will and plan in a sequence. And the scripture that I picked to have read today was Matthew 3 and 3. If we could turn there. The book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. And to repeat that, I am going to read it right now. For this is He who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight." Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that everything in this Bible from one end to the other points to You, Lord Jesus. You are the one about which everything is written. It all centers around You. And we pray, Lord, that we will always remember that. Keep You at the center of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you also to turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes. I want to read you something which goes along with the sequence of events. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. There is an order, a timeline, that is continuing today. The order of things. God lives outside of time. We do not. Time passes. We have nothing but this moment. That is why we must redeem the time that we have. We must spend it wisely. When we redeem something, we must pay something for it. It is in someone else's power and possession until it is paid for. The Bible says that we don't even own ourselves. We belong to someone else. Someone who has bought us and paid for us. We were in someone else's possession. We were slaves. Slaves to what? We were slaves to sin. But as much as the adversary had us bound, Jesus has redeemed us. He has set us free, and He has redeemed us with His precious blood. There is a sequence and a cycle to life. To everything there is a season. So God sets in motion, and in time, He stops. He ceases. He gives us choices, and He knows exactly what we will do, what we will choose. Now, are we pre-programmed? Do we have any real choice in the matter? Yeah, we're not pre-programmed. God just lets the sequence play itself out. He knows what we're going to do, but He gives us every opportunity to do that which is right. God has revealed to each of us the consequences of our actions and advises us to make the right choices, the wise choices. Advice doesn't do anybody any good if it is not taken. I have nobody to blame for the blunders that I have made but myself. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my teachers. I cannot blame society. I decide what happens to me, and so do you. You decide what happens to you. Men like Noah and Moses and Elijah are sent to us by God to help us, to encourage us, to warn us. But no prophet has the power to make us behave ourselves. John the Baptist came in the fullness of time to call his nation to repentance. And many came. And not only did he call them to repentance, but he pointed them to someone else. He pointed them to Jesus. Because at the center of it all is Jesus. Jesus is our reason for living. Jesus is the one who set the whole thing in motion in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. There is an attack amongst even so-called Christians today on the deity, divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to tell you today that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, and He is God. There is an attack on the Godhead itself. People say that how can God be three persons? Well, the Bible says He is. Oh, does He say exactly that He is three persons? No, it names the persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is our God. And He has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. For Colossians 2:9 says that in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Does that mean that all of God is in Jesus and that He doesn't exist outside of the man Christ Jesus? No, that's not what it means at all. The Godhead is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Godhead. For God is a spirit, and He fills all space and time. You can't go outside of God to look at Him because He is so vast, He is so large, He is so big. But that does not negate the fact that Jesus is God. And if He is not God, then His sacrifice on the cross was for nothing, because only God can save us. And through the person, the man, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. It is the sacrifice of Jesus that makes us either lost or saved. And if Jesus is not God, if He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. For the Bible says that all power in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. And in Him, the Spirit of Christ, we live and move and have our being. When Jesus said, I am going away, but I will not leave you nor forsake you, how could He possibly do that? Because Jesus was only a man, some people say. That how can a man go away and still be with you? He said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He shall come, and He will bring to you, and He will dwell into you, the Father and the Son. I and my Father will take up our abode in you by the agency, by the person of the Holy Spirit. So that each of us can have the Holy Spirit, which is the Father and the Son, dwelling in us at all times if we want Him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. But He's not all of God. There are three persons in the Godhead. And someone says, how can you divide? Is Christ divided? The Scripture says, and I had a person actually say, is Christ divided? No, He is multiplied. Now let me illustrate for you. When Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is also the seed of the woman that bruised the head of the serpent or killed the serpent, you know, in the garden. Here it goes. Jesus broke the loaves. Now, when you take a loaf and you break it, in a sense, it looks like you're dividing. But He multiplied it. You get it? He did not lessen Himself, but He multiplied Himself. And as a seed, the Bible says when you take a seed, and this is the parable of the seed, Jesus said a seed is planted or it dies. One seed. But it multiplies. So is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit a division of God? No, it's Him amplifying and magnifying and revealing and showing Himself to us. Revealing Himself to us. So then the Godhead reveals who God is. He is our Father. He is the Son. And He is the Holy Spirit. The only way Jesus could be with us all, in all parts of the world, how can Jesus be in my heart and your heart, and as I always say, and a Chinaman's heart on the other side of the world, if it's not through the Holy Spirit? God is not divided, but He is multiplied. And everything we do is to exalt and multiply and magnify Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Alpha and Omega. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can you make too much of Jesus? He's everything. He's the first, He's the last, and He's everything in between. And the thing that really upset the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, was that Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What did He say? Was it blasphemy? They said, you've heard Him, He's beside Himself. He has Beelzebub. He's speaking by the devil. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What does Jesus mean? I am Savior. We follow the sequence of the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us that as long as we are on this earth, we'll be looking for who to come back? Jesus. Jesus. John saw the religious leaders and he looked at them and he seen them coming down to the water and he says, what are you doing here? Why are you coming, you brood of vipers? Because they really did not repent. But they wanted to appear righteous by allowing themselves to be baptized by John, and John refused to do it. In the events that followed, John introduced Jesus as one greater and declared, I must decrease, and what? He must increase. So the sequence of events is that Jesus came and John pointed Him out. He said, He must increase and I must decrease. John's disciples went to visit Him in prison, and John was starting to doubt, maybe a little bit, because here's somebody so powerful like Jesus who can raise the dead and do all these miracles. Why didn't He go and release John from prison? What's going on here? Well, there was a question of John's disciples sticking with him and not following Jesus. That was not the reason why he wanted them to leave and follow Jesus. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. And the center of attention must not be on John the Baptist anymore, but on Jesus. Follow him. Follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, as long as John remained alive, many would feel obligated to remain with him. It was time for him to go. Each of us has a mission. Each of us has a goal. And this church has the awesome responsibility of preaching the everlasting gospel and the present truth. And part of the present truth has always been the center of the church is Jesus. It's all for him. I'm looking forward to the day when my Lord and my Savior, the blessed Son of God, comes in the clouds of glory and brings us home. And the world doesn't get the right notion of him at all. They think he's just a man, or was a man. And some think he never existed. We know better. He is the Son of God. He is all of these things. He is my Lord and my Savior. Is he yours? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Lord, it has been an exciting thing to be a Christian all these years and to understand that you ever live to make intercession for us, that you are in the Holy of Holies right now interceding on our behalf. Lord, we thank you that you never left us nor forsook us, but that you came back in the person of the Holy Spirit and brought your Father with you. And that we can have such close fellowship with you that one fine day we shall be manifested as the sons of God and be part of that heavenly kingdom which we are a part of now and of which the world has no part unless we can reach them, Lord, unless we can call them out of Babylon and bring them in to your fellowship. We ask, Lord, that you would ever focus our minds, our hearts, our lives on you, on your example, on your teachings, and help us to be ready for your soon coming. In Jesus' name, amen.